Now, we've spoken of the enlightened mind, enlightened consciousness, as communicating on the level of words, which, as we've seen, is the lowest level of all. We've spoken of the words transmission of the acharyas. But so far, we've said nothing about the written word, nothing about the sacred scriptures. We've already seen that the Buddha taught orally. He didn't write down anything. He didn't write any book. His disciples didn't write any book, not for a long time, for hundreds of years, maybe nearly 500 years. The Dharma, the teaching, was transmitted by word of mouth. And then only after that was it gradually, bit by bit, not all at once, written down. And apparently, some things were never written down at all. And even after 2,500 years, have never been written down. They're still transmitted by word of mouth, right down to the present. Now, when the orally transmitted teaching is written down, whether after 500 years or 1,000 years, then it becomes the sacred scriptures. And these sacred scriptures also, the literary records of what was originally an oral tradition, these also are known as the word of the Buddha, Buddhavachana. In fact, very often the word is used primarily in the sense of the scriptures. And the deeper implications of the term are sometimes, in some circles, even forgotten. So let us now take just a glance, a very swift glance, at these Buddhist scriptures, at these written records of the oral tradition of the Buddha's teaching. We're going to consider them in their main categories, roughly in the order in which they appeared as literary documents. And the period of time involved, the period during which they appeared, became written down, is nearly 1,000 years. Broadly speaking, the more exoteric teachings seem to have been written down first. The esoteric ones, or more esoteric ones, later on, or perhaps not even at all. So first of all, first division, first to be written down apparently, the monastic code, Vinaya. This consists essentially of rules of conduct, rules of behaviour, for monks and nuns. And this is the most exoteric portion of the teaching. And therefore, apparently, it was the first to be written down. The rules in the Vinaya are of two kinds. There are rules for monks or nuns leading a wandering life, wandering from place to place, living on alms and so on. These rules are known as the Bhikshu Pratimoksha and Bhikshuni Pratimoksha. And secondly, there are rules for monks or nuns living in permanently residential communities. And these rules, and the explanations of the rules and commentaries on the rules, these are known as the skandhakas, or the chapters. And the chapters cover all sorts of subjects. There's a chapter on ordination, chapter on the fortnightly meeting of the monks or nuns, a chapter on how to observe the rainy season retreat. There's another chapter on the use of leather for shoes. He didn't even neglect this sort of topic. There's a chapter on medicine and food, a chapter on material for robes, sleeping regulations, and rules for sick monks. There's a chapter on proceedings in case of dissensions, a chapter on duties of monks under suspension, a chapter on dwellings, furnishings — they seem to have got furnishings rather quickly — lodgings, and order of precedence among monks. And there's a chapter on settlement of disputes, and a chapter on schism. So chapters on all these topics and lots more. Now, besides the rules themselves, in the Vinaya, in the monastic code, in this branch of the Buddhist scriptures, there's a great deal of commentarial material, commentaries on the rules, explanations and expositions of the rules, and also a lot of general, historical, biographical, and anthropological material. In fact, the Vinaya, the whole Vinaya literature, which is very bulky, is probably our richest source of information as regards the general condition of India, northeastern India, in the Buddha's times. Also, here and there, even in the Vinaya literature, some discourses are included. Now, as far as we can see, as far as some modern scholars can see, some of the material in the Vinaya, including some of the rules, apparently is not fully and literally the actual word of the Buddha. This material seems to have been added later by the disciples, and their sort of additions and explanations at some later stage seem to have been incorporated with the word of the Buddha itself. But this, of course, applies, we may say, to practically all branches of the scriptures. So much for the monastic code, the Vinaya.